Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Reading at Matthew chapter 26. And verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, if you'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9, and reading at verse 11. "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that are under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Let's look to the Lord again in prayer. Our gracious Father, we are such a blessed people to have the eternal words of God in our hands tonight and in our hands throughout the day, whenever we will. And we thank you for the power that's in your word. The word of God is powerful. And we just pray tonight that it might work its power in each of our hearts to convict us where we need it, to encourage us where we need it, and most of all to see the praise and honor and glory that our Savior deserves. And we pray and ask these things in His precious name. Amen. We're coming up on Memorial Day, two Mondays from now. It's a serious day that we observe and remember and pay honor to the many lives that were given through two world wars and other wars. Their sacrifices were the cost of the freedoms that we cherish today. Were it not for the selfless acts of these brave people, the sacrifices of so many, we would possibly very well be living under some ruthless dictators or tyrants today, as are so many people in the regions throughout the world. Memorial Day is a tribute to the brave, the selfless patriots who sacrificed everything, including their very lives. And their sacrifices and the memory of them are displayed in manicured cemeteries throughout Europe and other countries with rows of white crosses. I love to go on the internet and just look at those cemeteries. They're amazing. Most crosses bear the names of those who died and are now lying there in rest. Though some are buried there and their names are not on the cross. They were not able to be identified. Their names are known only to God. Arlington National Cemetery, the most famous cemetery in this country, is also the final resting place of many of our nation's great heroes, including more than 300,000 veterans from every American conflict, from the Revolutionary War, even to Afghanistan and Iraq. These also gave the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy every day. But in every generation, it seems that more ruthless tyrants rise up and destroy these liberties. America today has offended the very God who gave His benevolent assistance to make this country what it was, what it is. We see it on many fronts. The national departure from the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have forgotten the God who blessed our nation. And this forsaking and departing and forgetting the living God has invited the judgment of the Almighty God on our country. We see it everywhere, in the halls of Congress, our judicial institutions, our schools and universities, where the religion of secular humanism, that man is the measure of all things, not God, man. They're being indoctrinated generation after generation. It's seen in much of the filth that passes for entertainment on the television and the movie industries. It's infiltrated apostate churches everywhere and denominations. They teach a false Christ and a false gospel. Jeremiah warned over 2,600 years ago. He said in Jeremiah 14:14, "Then the Lord said unto me," he's telling Jeremiah the conditions in his day, which are repeating in our day, "The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their own heart." Jeremiah said also in chapter 29, verse 8, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye have caused to be dreamed." Same thing happening in this nation today. It's on a downward spiritual spiral. The Lord Jesus warned in the New Testament, Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Psalm 9 and verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." And this nation has forgotten God. And this nation is turning into hell. So many are leaving this world, this country, going out into a Christless eternity. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 12. For the nations that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. This country is being wasted. It's being wasted on all fronts. Wasted in the Hebrew dictionary, if you look that word up, it says to be destroyed, to be laid waste, to be desolate. To be desolate. And that is the certain future of every nation on earth who forgets and forsakes and will not serve the true and living God. They'll become desolate. And this nation is trying to erase and remove all semblance of the true and living God. A God who made this nation so great through its founders. It's turned out today there's just this national refusal to serve the true and living God whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just a refusal to remember the Creator who made this nation the envy of the world, the protector of the world. As the prophet once said of God's chastisement of the nation of Israel in Jeremiah 50 and verse 38, a drought, Jeremiah said, a drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is a land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. A drought upon her waters. Does that ring a bell? Does that remind you of anything? According to the U.S. Drought Monitor map, just last week, they released some information. The western half of this nation in particular is experiencing large swaths of land, what the U.S. Drought Monitor categorizes or rates as a D3 condition, which is extreme drought. And in other Midwestern parts of the United States, they're even worse off. They've been rated a D4, and that means an exceptional drought. And we've seen on pictures of these huge reservoirs just drying up. Proverbs 14:33, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Henry Morris said of this verse, and I quote, "The unique blessings of God upon the American nation are primarily attributable to the spiritual convictions and motivation of so many of its founders and pioneers. Its present moral decline and religious apathy and apostasy is ominous portent for the future." The word portent means it's a word that means it's an indication of something momentous that is about to happen. Something momentous is about to happen. And this is where we are today as a nation. Half the country is ready and willing and trying to destroy the institution of the Supreme Court of the land. Why? To what end? To continue their unrestrained, murderous crimes of abortion against the unborn? That's why. Now, murdering infants even at birth and after birth. And they're not ashamed of it. 62 million and counting of our innocent. This is a testimony of reprobate minds that are void of judgment. Innocent being ripped apart since Roe versus Wade. Many, disproportionately speaking, I might add, are people of color. In fact, if you read much about Margaret Sanger, the one who started this, which eventually became Planned Parenthood, that was one of the reasons she started this movement. She wrote about it in one of her books. She wanted to place her clinics of abortion into black neighborhoods. So these freedoms and liberties that we cherish today, and I do, I cherish them, and you do too. But still, as our tyrants are still day after day trying to destroy these freedoms, so it's very fitting that two Mondays from now we still on Memorial Day we pay honor and tribute and respect to the memory of those who fought to preserve these freedoms, to win them and preserve them. True patriots. It's likewise fitting that here tonight we're remembering an infinitely greater sacrifice. The sacrifice of the ages, the sacrifice of all eternity. It's the remembrance and communion of the Lord's Supper. We read in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which we're going to be reading some from, if you'll turn there, we read about the bread. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And in verse 17, it says, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are partakers of that one bread." That one bread and that one body is the Lord Jesus Christ, of which we have become partakers. And not only partakers of, but members as well. Let's read beginning at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Verse 6. "Now these things were our examples." They're our examples. God put them here in His Word for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. The people made a golden calf and they worshipped it as God. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. God's admonishing you of these things. He's admonishing me. He's admonishing His churches of these things. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation that has taken you, but is such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. The bread broken by Christ and given to His disciples was very serious then. Very serious. That was when He was at the Last Supper. And He said, one of you shall betray me. It's interesting to me in studying this that the often mention of the betrayal in connection with the Lord's Supper. It's mentioned several times. And it's a message to any of us. We should not partake of the Lord's Supper and then betray the Lord. But the one He was singling out was, the Bible says they all the disciples said, is it I? Is it I? The word communion, it's the Strong's Greek Dictionary word number 2844, and it means a sharer. Communion means a sharer, to share. It means an associate, a companion. And what that means is that through faith in Christ, we can experience the reality of the communion of Christ's death, His burial, His resurrection. That's what the baptism, the public baptisms that we have, that's what that is a display of. It's the child of the child of God acknowledging that he's received Christ, and he wants to give a witness of that. And he's buried and into death, and he comes up in newness of life. We become a companion, an associate. We share in that. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. We are buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. We have a new life. And we should walk in that newness of life. We should strive to walk in newness of life. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. Through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. But as we read a moment ago in 1 Corinthians, there's a lot of stern warnings that we need to take heed to. And that's why God inspired the Apostle Paul to write this epistle and to preserve it in the eternal Word of God. These were people who were baptized into Moses, into the cloud, and into the sea. They all drank of that spiritual meat, and that spiritual drink, and they ate of that spiritual meat. They drank of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, out of which the water flowed. But with many of them, not just a few, with many of them, God was not well pleased. And so what are those things? These things are our examples. Our examples. You need to get your Bible out and read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Meditate upon it. Ask the Lord to let those truths get out of the pages of the Bible and down into your heart. They lusted after evil things. They were idolaters. They made their own idols. You know, it sounds kind of old-timey, old-fashioned, but it's not. We do the same things. We make our idols. We need to ask God to show us what it is in our life that is an idol. They sat down to eat and drink. They rose up to play. They were idolaters. They tempted Christ. They tempted Christ. What about that? Do we tempt Christ? We must. Or else God would not have put it in His Word, telling us, brethren, that we should not be ignorant about the fathers who were under the cloud and all that passed through the sea. We should not be ignorant of that. And all these things happened unto them, and they are written for our admonition. What else is more important on all the face of eternity, from eternity past to eternity future? What else is more important than the broken body and the shed blood of the eternal God upon the cross? And so when we partake of that bread and we drink of that cup, we're identifying, we're personally, me personally, you personally, we're identifying with the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And our hearts and our lives are to live in communion and in fellowship with that sacrifice of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Are we? Or are we lusting? Desiring evil things as they also lusted? Are we idolaters? They were. And that certainly doesn't mean to craft a little image and set it up. I've seen that. I've visited in homes of Hindus, and I've seen that multiple times. They have their little idols set up. One fella and I, we were kind of friends in a way, but uh, he took me into his... we became friends, and it was out in Dallas, Texas. And one day he took me into a room in his house. And that was his room of idolatry. He had little things set up, and I could tell that that's where he meditated. But we're pretty fancy. You know, we're sophisticated with our idols. It's just whatever we devote ourselves to that's not God's will. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The psalmist said in Psalm 139 and verse 23, "Search me, O God." That's a good prayer. When you have in your devotions, "God, search me. Know my heart. Try me. Put me to the test. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." First Corinthians 10:16, we read, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" You know, this is the focus of eternity. The cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus bore the punishment of the sins of the whole world, your sins, my sins. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung an hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's ask the men to come forward while we remember the Lord in the Lord's Supper.